All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Episode 69. I'm Mr. Fantastic, and I'm here with OG Matt.
It's true, sir. Episode 69, huh? What are we going to call this one?
69. All right.
Yeah. I think that we should just leave it at that. Plain, simple.
I'm not sure how we're going to spell that yet, but I'm okay with that. Let's leave it like that.
We'll figure it out. Wikipedia probably has a porno spelling for all right. Multiple eyes, I'm sure.
I'm in.
You're in?
Yeah, I'm in.
All right. So let's get right to movies that I've seen in the past week that I was thoroughly disappointed in.
Man, I could do one of those two.
Okay.
But you go first.
All right. I'm going to go with Hot Fuzz.
Oh, man.
I wanted to like Hot Fuzz. I really did. And there were parts of Hot Fuzz that I really did like. But it was like, well, it was no Shaun of the Dead.
I knew you were going to say that.
So let's get that out of the way. And it was, the only way I could think to describe it is, have you seen From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yes,
the first
I have.
One?
I have.
You know how it's almost two completely distinct movies?
That movie caught me off guard. I sat down and watched it with someone else, and when the switch over happens
right.
In genres, if you've seen the movie, you know when the point is. It's kind of like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
But then the rest of the movie is really good, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. So I would agree with you. I like From Dusk Till Dawn. But Hot Fuzz kind of has this dual movie thing going on. I mean, you know, you're following the character, and there's a little bit of mystery and intrigue, and, you know, it's a little nice, happy countryside town, and there's a murderer on the loose, and then all of a sudden, like, out of the blue, it gets bizarro. And it seems like it should end, but it never does. It just keeps going and going and going. And I got so confused, and it became so diluted that it was hard for me to really enjoy it.
Now, answer me this. I saw, I think, two different trailers. And
okay.
In one trailer, it was kind of just like, it looked like a buddy cop movie,
okay.
Comedy, and that was it. And then in the other trailer, it looks like a high-flying action Hollywood, death-dealing, guns-blazing movie. And when I saw them, I couldn't put it together. I don't get it. So what is it?
It's two guys who got some recognition out of Shaun of the Dead who really wanted to make a big-budget action movie. That had the chance to, but
I
it just
see.
Got bizarre and British.
Now,
to put it,
is your disappointment because it's British? Sometimes there are things out there that are British that are just cannot be understood by the American mind.
Now, I would tend to agree with you there, except I happen to be a big fan of the BBC.
Right.
I enjoy a lot of the BBC programming. BBC America, one of my favorite channels out there. Red Dwarf, Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere, Robin Hood, stuff like that. I mean, even stuff like Ab Fab, which is a little bit more obscure and some people would call me gay.
Mary.
But I mean, there's humor there and I appreciate that. But this just, and Shaun of the Dead, I appreciated. That was entirely British
right.
too. This, I don't know, it lost me somewhere.
Okay, so I won't chalk it up to it being British then. And I'm
yeah.
just going to chalk it up to it being not a good movie, I guess.
Yeah, I think it just was trying to be too many different things. And I don't want to spoil it for people who may or may not have seen it because it's only been out on DVD now a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
But you should check it out, I guess. Just be prepared to be confused, disappointed.
Thoroughly confused.
Yes. What about you? What was the flick
you saw?
I think
I'm still going to see it anyway.
And you should.
Well, this is kind of one of those retrospective things. I know last week I mentioned that I saw Die Hard.
Yes.
Live Free or Die Hard.
Right.
And then I kind of thought about it.
Okay.
This kind of happened with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy when I saw it.
Uh-oh.
I saw it and I said, wow, that was a great movie. I really liked it. And then I kind of thought back and said, you know, it really wasn't that good at all. There were a lot of parts that I just found completely stupid.
Well, yeah.
And I think over the last week, as I've had time to reflect, that's happened with Die Hard.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just really disappointed in the movie now. Because when I was there, you know, there's big explosions and you're being distracted and there's a cute girl and there's, you know, Justin Long who's funny and he's in those Apple commercials where he's a bit of a wise guy. So you like to see him, you know, get the leg up on the bad guys and things like that. Bruce Willis, he punches people and acts tough, says catchy phrases.
Right.
And that'll pass, but I cannot get over the terrible depiction of the way technology works. And I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So I won't harp on it any longer, but just I wanted to say it's not one of those movies that gets better with age.
Okay. So I think, like you, I will still check out Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard.
You should.
When it comes out on DVD. But I will not prepare myself for any heavy, hard-hitting technology truth.
No, it's not a very, like I said, Transformers was a more realistic movie.
See, that's just crazy. But okay, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And that had a hot computer hacker in it. So
it certainly did.
It doesn't get any more unrealistic than that.
Ah.
She was smoking. She was way too hot for that movie.
She was hotter than Angelina Jolie in Hackers, dare I say.
When you saw Optimus Prime move, you were like, that's real. And then when you saw her talk and be like, yeah, we hacked. It took 30 minutes to hack our firewall. It's like, shut up. This movie's completely fake.
That was the CGI in the movie.
I know.
Everything else was real.
Exactly. You know, when you saw like a Harryhausen movie and something moved a little bit weird and you said, oh man, this is fake, but it's still cool. This is like, that bitch is fake. I can't believe in this at all.
She was blue screen the entire film. She
might as well
exist.
Have been.
It's like blue that movie screen. With Al Pacino. What was that? Simone or something like that. He creates some sort of like lover or something like that. It's all computer generated. Some hot smoking blonde. Same kind of thing. Anyway, so from the disappointed DVD news to the ridiculous, maybe this ties into geek culture news.
Yeah.
Have you heard what they're doing to police officers in Bangkok, Thailand now? When they break the rules? When they litter or perhaps park illegally or something silly like that?
When only the police officers do it. This
only
isn't
the police
civilians
officers.
Walking the street.
Correct. Police officers.
No, I haven't heard.
They are forcing them to wear hot pink Hello Kitty armbands for a period of time to be determined based on the misdemeanor.
There is no way that you can insult a Bangkokian more than to make them wear a pink yellow Hello Kitty, right? That's what it's called.
Hello Kitty, yeah.
Armband.
I mean, to me, it's just ridiculous and bizarre. I mean, I guess the point, it's supposed to embarrass them and probably emasculate them and stuff like that, but still, it just seems a bit ridiculous.
The really sad part is it probably does. They probably can't even function like that.
Yeah, it's just too much for them to handle.
It offends
they don't know where
their
to
honor.
Go. You know, it's crazy and bizarro. Makes no sense. Similar to how, let's say, making another video game movie makes no sense. And for that concept, which has proven time and time again to be a poor concept, to be something that doesn't work well, the only way it could work worse is if you had, let's say, a real hokey, crummy video game franchise to back it up. Like, let's say, Castle Wolfenstein, the movie.
It's a good game, though.
It's all right.
Oh, come on. It was a groundbreaking game for the time.
It was great. It was great when I got to school in high school early in the morning and I had access to the computer lab and I can load it up off my floppy disk, my 3.5, and play for a couple of minutes and I had the cheat code so I could just Gatling gun down all the Nazis.
Yeah, it was a shareware game that was one episode free, one of the early id software games, and I think that all six episodes, the one where you fought Hitler at the end, and Giant Tank included, were all on the same disc, which tells you about, you know, how big the game actually was. It was on a 3.5, you know, floppy drive disc. But that was a good game.
Well,
tell me about the movie.
I don't know much about the movie other than they're developing it as such. So I don't know if it's going to be kind of like Doom. They're going to do that. They're going to try to work that first person shooter aspect into it, or if it's just going to be some dude with a gun versus the Nazis. I'm not sure.
I'm not so sure what they'll do about the name, but I believe the guy's name, and don't quote me on this, but I think it's close, was BJ Blazkowicz.
Oh, God.
So hopefully the guy's name is not BJ Blazkowicz in the movie.
Oh, man.
And if it is, they don't say it more than once.
It's just in the credits. He's just referred to as Yo the entire
either
film.
Either that or it's on the guy's tomb when he dies at the end.
There you go.
But Return to Castle Wolfenstein was a good game too. More recently, published by Activision, I think developed by id Games. And it has a lot more up-to-date feel to it. It's kind of one of those Nazi occult, you know, they're kind of summoning demons and ghosts and things like that to fight on their behalf during World War II. And you have to go in and disrupt their activities and shoot them all. But I could see how they take that and, you know, that style, that stylistic element, and turn that into a movie. It's kind of like what you see in Indiana Jones.
Right, right. Okay.
If, you know, if they could work with that, they can make something good.
I guess. I don't know. It just seems that the video game to movie thing has not worked well yet, with maybe the exception of the first Resident Evil, which some people will tell you is great and everybody else will tell you sucks. But I don't know. Wolfenstein just seems like an odd property to do it with.
Matt, the Mario Brothers movie was a great movie.
You deserve to be shot.
No, it wasn't.
Was that Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo? Was that Mario and Luigi?
Right, and who played Koopa?
Oh, God.
Anthony Hopkins?
No, it wasn't Anthony Hopkins. I don't think so.
I'll look it up in a sec.
Yeah, you'll have to look it up.
But my favorite part is that they establish that since they're called the Mario Brothers, Mario and Luigi's last name is Mario.
Yeah.
So Mario's name is Mario Mario.
Oh, terrible.
It makes you want to erase every good memory that you had as a kid and kill yourself.
When I think Mario, I think Captain Lou, and that's it. That's where it stops for me. Anything past that is just silly and ridiculous. But while we're talking about video games to movies, or games to movies perhaps, why don't we talk about the World of Warcraft film, which we kind of heard some stuff about. We knew that it was coming out. We knew that it was being developed. And it seems World of Warcraft is trying to take over the every market, because you have the game, you've got the action figure line that DC Direct is putting out. You've got the comic book that we talked about a couple weeks ago when Kev was still in studio and not out walking the earth. And you have the movie franchise now. So, I don't know. They at BlizzCon 2007, first of all, I'd like to say, mm-hmm. Do they need a BlizzCon 2000 whatever? Is it necessary to have a convention dedicated to Blizzard games? What do they show? WoW and StarCraft 2, and that's it?
They probably play old games of Diablo and Diablo 2.
Maybe.
Old games of Warcraft.
Mm.
They speculate about Warcraft Ghosts not coming out.
Ugh. Well, anyway, at BlizzCon 2007, they showed the first CGI still. It's a landscape still.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty. It looks like a game cinematic. You know, like a cinematic cutaway in the game. I mean, that's kind of what it reminds me of. It doesn't look great. It doesn't look terrible. They also talk a little bit about the storyline, which is going to take place apparently 1 year before WoW starts. So wherever in the history of the game that mm-hmm. is, that's when the movie is supposed to take place. Eh.
I see.
Eh.
I don't know enough about the universe story-wise to say anything, but I am a fan of the art style. And like I said, I think I said this weeks ago, but I'd be interested to see how they keep that art style around. It's going to be a live action or CGI?
CGI.
Yeah. Even in CGI, I mean, are all the dwarves going to have giant heads and giant feet with big hands and things like that?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess if they figure out a way to hold on to the style and not make it look hokey,
mm-hmm.
it'll be okay. Like, you know, with CGI, you walk such a fine line of good and bad. I mean, you have something that Pixar puts out, for example, which has a cartoony feel, but it has a real feel to it. It looks very nice. And then you have something like Beast Wars, which I thought looked terrible as far as CGI was concerned. I mean, it was just shit.
What did you think of Reboot? That was one of my favorites.
You know what? Reboot was done really well and is bizarre because it has this huge, like, underground cult following. There are, like, Reboot heads, like, at all these major conventions that you go to.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, old memorabilia from the show and, like film cells from the show and art books that they put out and even some of the figures that they put out. They fetch a good chunk of change because the fans are like so dedicated to it. So
I was always amazed at the computer terminology that they would put into the game that wasn't necessarily something that everybody who watched would know, but it was still a technical term. Like, I remember there was one guy who was kind of the Yoda-like wise character, and his name was Phong, or P-H-O-N-G, and Phong is a type of shading in polygon graphics and things, but they were always used, you know, they'd use names that. I think there was like Mulder and Scully, their equivalents were on there, and their names were like Modem and Nully or something like that, which are, you know,
yeah,
could be related to two other computer things.
So I don't know. So if the CGI holds up, I think that the movie can hold up. You know, people are going to compare it to Lord of the Rings because that's the bar nowadays, so we'll see.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper was King Koopa. It was not Anthony Hopkins. He is way too good for being King Koopa.
I don't know. Dennis Hopper, you know, Speed. Blue Velvet. No?
All right. No, he's good, too.
No, he's good, too. I know. He's no Anthony Hopkins, though. He's no Hannibal Lecter.
He's not a sir, right?
He's not a sir.
No.
Why don't we stick with some movie franchises? Let's talk a little bit about JLA. We don't have a lot of news on it other than it has a director tied to the project now, and that would be George Miller. George Miller, who worked on Road Warrior originally. So I guess that's some news as far as how they're moving forward with it. I don't know. It's hard to get excited about a JLA movie because I still don't think that a live action team movie will work well. I think it's very hard to do. I think they were lucky and fortunate enough to pull it off mostly in X-Men 1, completely in X-Men 2, but not at all in X-Men 3. Mm-hmm. And so JLA is going to fall into the same problem.
Yeah, I think the more costume characters that they put on screen at the same time, it just gets harder and harder, especially when they're different colors. If you have Batman, Superman, and Martian Manhunter on there,
right,
that's like all the colors of the rainbow. It's just that there's got to be a way to make it blend.
Well, they're going to have to redesign. They're going to have to redesign the costumes. It's going to have to be sleek and modern, like they did with X-Men. So, I don't know.
I guess you could put them all in jeans.
Yeah, there you go.
Like they did with leather in X-Men, right? It was like everybody just wore leather for the first one.
So, I don't know. I'm not too excited about it, but, eh. Talking about directors and sticking with that, we have Lexi Alexander, who directed an independent film called Hooligans. She has been tied to the Punisher 2 movie, the Ray Stevenson filling in for Thomas Jane because he thought the script sucked. Punisher 2 Marvel sequel. No matter who they tie to this project as a director, if the script sucks, the movie's going to suck. Thomas Jane didn't leave the film because he didn't like the director. He left the film because he didn't like the story and the script. So, I don't know. It's hard to get excited about this one, too, because even if you had the most brilliant director directing it, if the script blows, then this movie's going to blow. It just kind of stands to reason, I think.
I wonder if they'd make any changes because of Tom Jane leaving, if they're like, all right, let's just rethink this from the beginning and try and redo the story, or they just go, you know, march forward with it.
You know what? I think that if they were interested in making changes to this story, they would have done it to keep Tom Jane around. He was really well received by the fans.
Mm-hmm.
He was very into the role and did a great job in the first movie. And you want someone with that kind of enthusiasm to play the part, and you also want someone that the audience responds to. And if the audience responded really well to somebody, if you're going to be willing to work with them, then you're going to work the script to work around them. You're not going to replace them and then change the script. That would make no sense. But, you know, you never know. A final draft could happen, or the film can get shot and then still stink and they scrap it or reshoot it. Who knows?
Yeah, it really is a shame that they lost him. I mean, Tom Jane, I heard, was a guy who was on the level when it comes to researching the roles.
Completely.
And being dedicated and living his life like the character, almost like Christian Bale. I know Christian Bale's gained weight and lost weight and lived, you know, the life like some of the characters that he's played and kind of put on the mask in his own life.
Sure.
And you don't know what the other guys are doing.
No, you don't. And you don't know, again, you don't know how anybody's going to react to it. And I think you're kind of going into it against the odds by doing what they've done. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, they say that Jigsaw is going to be the main villain in it, which is kind of interesting and kind of cool, I guess, depending on who they cast. Might almost make it worth watching, but it's going to be a tough call.
I hope for the best.
I hope for the best, too. However, not the best would probably be the fact that they're doing Shrek 4. Now, I haven't seen Shrek the Third. Have you seen Shrek the Third?
Negatory.
Did you see Shrek's 1 and 2?
I saw 1 and 2, yeah.
Did you like 1 and 2?
Yeah, I thought 1 was a good movie and 2 was all right. I just think a giant green ogre voiced by Mike Myers and an annoying donkey, you know, loses its freshness very quickly. 1 was enough for me.
Yeah, you know what? I really liked the first two. I had interest in seeing the third one, but I didn't get the chance to. I mean, I don't know. I don't care. I don't think I'm going to care to see a Shrek 4. If they're going to try to do something with the franchise, I'd be more interested in seeing another character developed. Develop Puss in Boots, which we hear that they are doing, actually, for his own film, possibly. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. Shrek 4? And then you know what Shrek 4 means. Shrek 4 means Shrek 5 and 6, if the box office numbers are big enough. Do we need 6 Shrek movies? It seems a bit excessive to me.
Maybe there's just that much story to tell. I don't think so, but maybe there is.
I guess.
I wish that they would take the energy that they're going to use in creating more Shrek movies and even another Puss in Boots movie and turn it into more of a live-action, adult-oriented, or CGI, rather, adult-oriented movie, something more on the level of like Final Fantasy, Spirits Within. Right. Because that was done, what now, maybe 8 years ago, five years ago? And that was really good quality. I think the Beowulf movie, they're doing like that, right? And I've seen some stills and it looks really good. But I think Pixar can put together what is possibly, you know, the greatest movie visually of all time now. Yeah. If they took all that effort that they're putting into Shrek and all those, you know, designs and things like that and made a more adult movie.
Yeah, you know, I guess they feel like it's, I guess they feel like no matter what, it's going to sell. If it doesn't sell in the theater, it'll sell on DVD, and they probably have a comfort zone with it.
Yeah.
But I think that creatively, they're hurting themselves, and it's not going to help them moving forward. I think they need to move away from the franchise and revisit.
It's certainly low risk, and they know it's going to work.
Exactly.
It's going to make money, but it's not going to further the art in any way.
No, not at all. So it's almost a who cares kind of situation. Or it is a who cares kind of
I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Do you care about Johnny Quest? Did you watch Johnny Quest?
Yeah, I did a little.
Yeah, I don't know. It was okay. DVD sales when it came out on DVD did pretty good. I wasn't a huge fan of it. But apparently Warner Brothers, Hanna-Barbera is developing this as well into a live action film. I think they missed the boat with this. This is a movie that should have been developed years ago with like Ricky Schroeder as Johnny Quest.
He would be perfect.
He would have been perfect. Yeah, I mean, who are you going to use now? Like Haley Joel Osment?
Yo, that kid's scary.
He is.
No, but you know what? I disagree. I think that they can do this now because I think that we kind of have this... people are ready for these campy kind of just adventure movies. Some of them like Galaxy... What was that? Sky High one?
Sky High.
You know, they had the Spy Kids movies. I think it could be on the level with that where they just cast a cute little kid and then get an actor who's been around for a while to play his dad or whatever that guy...
The guy
with the mentor was. I'd be curious to see how they handle Haji in today's climate. But I think it could work.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like they're announcing all these titles that are supposed to be drumming up all this interest, and I find myself feeling completely and totally numb to most of them.
I'm certainly not excited, but I'm interested.
You're interested? Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess that's good. I mean, interest is better than no interest.
Could they do a Space Ghost movie?
I'd see a Space Ghost movie. But would you do Coast to Coast? Would it be like campy Space Ghost, or would it be like classic Space Ghost?
You don't know. They could do either of those now, you know?
Because, you know, they've pretty much redefined that character as the dumb talk show host type of character. I don't know that you can almost go back to classic Space Ghost and expect to see a good response.
I don't think you could. What about Thundar the Barbarian?
I'd rather see the Herculoids.
That was like the family?
Yeah. Gleep and Glop and the Triceratops that shot the rocks out of it.
I have this vivid memory of watching it one time, and for some reason, the Hanna-Barbera characters always like crossed over.
Okay.
And it was Scooby-Doo with Batman and Robin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, so they're running from Galactus or something like that, and it just didn't make any sense even when I saw it. But I was amazed that it was, I guess, late 70s or early 80s and had Galactus in it in the Fantastic Four, and it must have been one of like these Hanna-Barbera Schmoz jobs, whatever.
Crazy crossovers. Yeah. It was like some sort of Saturday morning hodgepodge.
Yeah.
Well, before you know it, Yogi Bear is there driving a race car, stealing a picnic basket. You know, it all works.
Yeah.
Ew. Let's talk a little bit about Smallville. I don't know why. I feel like Smallville is a show that I should have been watching, and now I'm too lazy to get into. You ever get that way about a show?
Sometimes I wish that they would make the series shorter so that they would end it, and then I could go to the beginning and watch it all on DVD.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They need like to do Ultimate Smallville.
Any
like 5-episode seasons?
Yeah, exactly.
They just cut out all the fluff and get to the hard, the nitty-gritty.
I mean, you know me. I read the trade paperback and not necessarily the books themselves because I just don't have time to find and collect them all. I have a DVR and I could record them, but still, if I were to start doing that now, I'd have to go way back to really appreciate everything and go through all the episodes that I know the fans of the show out there think suck now.
Yeah, I really, it's just a matter. I mean, I have, you know, I have access to the sets. You know, I'm a member of an online rental service and I work in a video store, so I certainly have access to them. I'm just too lazy to watch them. But anyway, Smallville is pulling in old Superman actors again to be on the show. At one point in time, they had Christopher Reeve on the show in a little cameo prior to his passing. There's some rumor that coming up in the future, they have the woman who played Supergirl in the original Supergirl film is going to make a cameo on the show, although I can't remember her name. But Dean Cain is going to be making a cameo on the show. You may remember Dean Cain from The Adventures of Lois and Clark.
I remember Dean Cain, and I also remember him being on that MTV Hot Shocks, Jocks, whatever it's called, basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Using all those, like, you know, the baseball and basketball. And it was always like, here's Mark McGwire and Dean Cain.
He hosted a show, too. Ripley's Believe It or Not, I think.
That wasn't a bad show.
No,
not
it was okay,
bad.
But not because it wasn't good because he hosted it. He just kind of was there.
Right. He just introduced the stuff. Yeah. That was one of those shows where he, I think at the end or somewhere in a commercial break, he would say, three of these things. Here's three things. Two of them are false and one of them is true. Guess which one?
Ooh, audience participation.
We love that. Like, oh, I'm going to feel really bad if I get it wrong.
Yeah. I'm stupider than Dean Cain. I should shoot myself, apparently. Well, anyway, Dean Cain's going to be playing Dr. Curtis Knox, a villainous killer. Ooh, on Smallville. Again, I could care less.
I think he'd be a good villain, though.
I don't know. He's a dummy, though.
Well, you got to understand, fans of the show are probably were fans of Lois and Clark, and
sure,
they're gonna eat that up. They love it. They're gonna watch. They're gonna tell their friends. We're gonna talk about it. They love it.
I guess there's some sort of like fanboy nostalgia built into the fact, just similar to how Christopher Reeve being on the show built in. I mean, obviously a little bit more than Dean Cain, but I guess incarnations of Superman. Have there been any other ones? George Reeve, but he's dead.
A little late for that, yeah.
Yeah, he's dead. Hollywoodland killed him. So they can get Ben Affleck on the show. Because he played. Anyway.
I know.
So yeah, I don't care.
All right.
I don't care.
You're allowed.
I'm glad I'm allowed. I'm really kind of not caring. I'm numb this week.
If Kev were here, you would not be allowed.
No.
But right now,
he's
missing.
He would tell me I was stupid.
He's missing in action, so you can think whatever you want to think.
Yes. All right, well, then I'm going to get excited since I'm allowed.
Just keep it in your pants.
Hey, I'm not doing anything dirty, but I am going to get excited.
Yeah.
Do you remember, or did you have, when you were a younger man, the Snoopy snow cone machine?
Yeah, I think I did.
Do you remember how awesome the Snoopy snow cone machine was?
I remember being like maybe a white igloo with a red top or something like
that.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be Snoopy's doghouse.
Oh, right.
So it was the white house with the red top.
That would make sense.
And it had a little chute in the top where the chimney was where you would put the ice.
Right.
And then it had like this plastic presser with a molded Snoopy on top that you would use to press the ice down when you turned a crank in the back that produced the snow cone. And then in Snoopy's head, he had this upside down dog bowl on his head, which was where you're supposed to put like the flavoring that you can then squirt onto the snow cone to make a snow cone, I guess.
It's called corn syrup.
Exactly. So one of my favorite things as a child, as a matter of fact, I had one when I was a kid, and much like many other children, the handle broke, the little rubber dog bowl top dry rotted and fell apart. And so I felt at a loss one day and I had to throw it away. And then I was at a garage sale a couple years later, and I saw one. It was pristine, mint in box. It even had the shovel, which was a rarity to find the shovel. Let me tell you, the only thing it didn't have was the original flavoring packets, which I was kind of okay with because that would have been gross.
You were a little bit glad.
I was a little bit glad. I was relieved.
Okay.
But it was like $3 or $2 or something like
that.
Pick
it up.
Of course. So I proudly have it in my collection. And now, in the wave of nostalgia that has come out in today's society, they are re-releasing the Snoopy Snow Cone Machine.
Now, this is exactly the way it was, or they made little changes to it, or is it a brand new one?
Okay. Apparently, the design is exactly the same. Now, my guess would be that they've probably made some changes to the actual grating wheel.
Right.
Because the grating wheel, it was kind of like a cheese grater, but, you know, in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you grabbed it too quick, or perhaps you had a younger sibling that hated your guts and ripped it out of your hands, you definitely would slice your fingers.
The only thing I can think of is the scene in Goonies when they're putting Chunk's hand in the blender.
In the blender.
Fratellis are interrogating him.
Yeah, exactly. So if I had to take a stab in the dark, I would say they're probably redesigning that aspect of it, maybe making it like a hard plastic, or I don't know.
Basically a piece of crap.
Yeah, exactly. So they are re-releasing it. So if you want to have one, maybe just to display on your shelf, I don't know, when it comes out, it might be worth hunting down. But me, I got the real deal, baby. Authentic.
It's because you're a collector, man.
I mint in package. I'm very excited. But so yeah, so Snoopy Snow Cone Machine, again, to relive some of that childhood happiness. That's all I got.
All right.
What do you got? Anything?
I got to go to the bathroom.
Well, we should take a break then and let you do that.
All right.
All right.
Hey, Matt, I heard we have some new Geek Stuff content on the horizon.
That's right, Fantastic. Our new segment, Geek Stuff Up Close, will feature live action video reviews of toys, products, and everything else Geek Stuff.
So if you have any ideas or suggestions for geek products that you want to see up close, drop us a line at bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com.
Geek Stuff Up Close, coming soon.
Good one.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 69. Insert sexual innuendo joke here.
All right.
Giggity giggity. All right, so... so what are we talking about this segment, Fantastic?
We have a list.
Okay.
It's a list of the top 25 something.
Cliffhangers of all time. The top 25 cliffhangers of all time, Fantastic. And where can they find this list if they want to follow
find
along?
They can find it at wizarduniverse.com.
Okay.
They can find it on the post for this episode.
Excellent.
And by clicking the link on their podcast now.
Wow, we're all high-tech and shit.
We use a computer for this.
Oh, right, that's what that's called. I forgot. All right, so for those of you who may or may not choose to follow along with us, we're not going to go over the entire list, but we are going to highlight a few out of the 25 that, I don't know, maybe we felt most important, most appropriate, the ones we kind of liked personally.
We thought they were good ones.
We thought they were good ones. All right, so we're going to start with one that, while I certainly don't know too much about, I know enough about, but Fantastic, this is going to be all you, baby.
Lay it on me.
Master Chief calls shotgun Halo 2 Xbox.
I don't necessarily agree with the names that they're applying here.
Okay.
But God, yes, was that a letdown.
Okay.
It's basically at the end of the game, you get the feeling that they didn't finish the game. So what do? They put Master Chief in a situation where all odds are against him. Put him in a ship or something with no guns, and they just throw him towards the enemy. And he says, I forget what he says.
Shotgun?
No.
Because that would be really funny. He grunts, finishing this fight.
Exactly. My favorite Master Chief quote is, I need a weapon. But he doesn't say
that
at
this
time. Yeah, he's a human weapon. But man, was it a letdown. But during the whole game, you kind of get the feeling that something isn't right about this game.
Okay.
It's a beautiful game. It's really fun to play, but it's a little something's missing.
Something a little screwy.
Something like the graphics aren't as polished. There's this little bit of pop in, and you're kind of like, I think that they could have fixed this if they gave it a little bit more time. When you go into the multiplayer to play online, there's an option to go into online multiplayer co-op, and you choose it, and then you just kind of sit at this menu, and you can't do anything.
Okay.
And then if you say, okay, go, online multiplayer co-op, it says you must go back out to the menu from one player and play that way. So you kind of get to a dead end, and you can see, and they've come to admit eventually that, yeah, there was a feature that was supposed to be there that they just kind of axed and then cut the cord on it, and you can't go anywhere. So the game was a letdown in a couple ways. The storyline was a cliffhanger.
Well, you know, we all knew there was going to be a Halo 3 eventually, so was this kind of like... Like, as far as cliffhangers go, is this something you would see, like, at the end of the movie when the credits are all done? Like, this kind of pops up on... Is this, like, the kind of cliffhanger
we expect? Not even like that. It's kind of like you've been playing for 12 hours or so or 10 hours.
Right.
And then you're saying, wow, this is getting really good. This is getting really good. And then you fight this guy who could possibly be a boss or a mid-boss. He's bigger than all the other guys. He's got a giant hammer. He's got a name, unlike all the other people that you've killed.
Right.
And, you say, all right, I'm ready for the next level. And then suddenly it ends.
Oh, all right. So that was it.
That was it.
Okay, so definitely a cliffhanger. So I guess it's appropriate for this list then.
Cliff hung.
Damn.
Damn.
All right, let's move on.
I need a weapon.
Finishing the fight.
You need one.
You are a weapon.
What do you got?
Phoenix Rising at the end of X2, X-Men United, the film. How did you feel about this when you saw that? Do you know what they're talking about?
Yeah, I know what they're talking about.
For those of you who don't know what they're talking about, when X2 ends, they kind of have this scene where the Black Jet is taking off from the dam that has just exploded and is leaking all over the place, you know, theoretically killing Stryker and all this stuff, and Jean Grey along with the whole thing. And as they pan away, you see the Phoenix symbol appear in the water.
But it's the faintest.
It's like faint, and it's like in the ripple of
a flaming Phoenix. But anyone who's read the comic books or knows the lore of the comic books knows that she's going to come back, and she's going to come back as the Phoenix in some way. But that one actually got me because I wanted to see more, I think. X2, I thought, was a good movie. So when that really happened, I thought that was really awesome. I thought that was all done well. The bad part about that cliffhanger for me is when they return to it.
Yeah, X3 is the bad part of that cliffhanger.
Because I thought Jean Grey just absolutely sucked in the third one.
Yeah, I remember seeing that image, and I kind of did one of those, yes!
Yeah, it was like, I can't wait for the third one.
I was so jazzed.
It can only get better from here.
No,
not so it much. Didn't.
No. Then what's his name left? Singer left. Ratner came on. Everybody got flat and one-dimensional. X3, the biggest disappointment to the cliffhanger that was at the end of X2.
God.
It's a shame, but as far as cliffhangers go, definitely up there on the list. Definitely appropriate. All right. We're going to jump down their list a little bit now. We're going to go to Ash Gets Medieval. Now, what they're talking about here is the end of Evil Dead 2. Have you seen Evil Dead 2?
I've seen them all.
Okay, so Evil Dead 2, he's finishing fighting the baddies, and he gets pulled into that vortex, the portal,
right
in front of the cabin. Or actually, isn't it like the door of the cabin or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's within the cabin.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they show him drop, and then the car drop next to him, and he stands up, and it's like the Middle Ages. It's medieval times.
It's medieval times. Dinner and tournament.
I mean, what a great setup for the continuation of the character, although a bizarre turn for the continuation of the character.
I don't know what they were actually planning when they made that movie. Evil Dead 2 is basically kind of a remake and then a little bit of an extension of Evil Dead 1.
Correct.
So I don't know what they were thinking of at the end. I think that they were saying, we're just going to end it here in the oddest way possible to let people, you know, fill in the blank.
Right.
And just set them up for a wild ride for their imagination.
Sure.
I didn't think they were going to come back.
Well.
So when they came back with Army of Darkness and they pick up, they kind of redo that scene again. And they do the recap where he's in the cabin and he's cutting off his hand and they give the whole story. And then it thrusts him into the medieval times. And it goes crazy from there.
It does. And Army of Darkness. Army of Darkness, a great film. I mean, really a cult classic.
I don't know if it's Evil Dead 2 or it's Army of Darkness, but one of them, when the car falls, it falls on sand, right? Or dirt. And you can see that there's like this pad or something, or like a mattress right under it.
Yeah.
And it just poof, and it goes up. The sides of it are clearly visible. But it's like, you know what? It doesn't matter.
No, I'm pretty positive that's Evil Dead 2, not Army of Darkness. And at that point in the film, you're really kind of just like, yeah, you accept. After everything, the girl got raped by a tree. After everything else, you're like, yeah, okay. Okay. You know, it happens. So Ash Gets Medieval, definitely good cliffhanger. And we were not disappointed with Army of Darkness. Turned out to be very good and fun.
One of my favorite movies, I think.
Yeah, and I still haven't gotten Kate to watch it.
What a fool she is.
I keep telling her I'm going to force her one day. It's going to be Army of Darkness rape.
Klaatu, Verata.
Exactly. All right. MRA, moving right along. Jason Todd Lives. Okay. So what this is referring to is Batman number 617, which is smack dab in the heart of the Hush storyline that was going on. Great storyline that brought Jim Lee back to the book. Jeff Loeb was the writer at the time. And Batman is fighting every Batman villain under the sun during this storyline. I mean, he's Joker, Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, Two-Face, Riddler. They're all there. They're all involved. But at the heart of it all is this new villain, this mystery villain, this character, Hush, and he's pretty much a trench coat with bandages wrapped around his face for the entire time. And at the end of this particular issue, issue 617, there's a big reveal. Who is Hush? And the bandages come off, and it's Jason Todd, who, for those of you who don't know, who may be Batman ignorant, Jason Todd would be the second Robin that was killed in Death in the Family, that famed Batman storyline that I think you've read before, have you not?
No, that one I haven't read.
Oh, you read Killing Joke, right?
I read The Killing Joke.
Oh, so Jason Todd, and it's his big thing, and you can't wait for the next issue, and the next issue comes out, and you're all jazzed. You're like, how did Jason Todd come back? I have to know. And then it's not really Jason Todd at all. It's Clayface playing Jason Todd, just to fuck with Batman mentally.
Man, the way you told that story, I was in.
You were there?
I bought in. I thought Jason Todd was alive. I was thinking, how could he have died? Did Joker kill him? Joker killed him,
Joker,
right?
Joker did kill him.
How did he kill him? Did he gouge his eyes out? Did he cut his head off? How could he possibly be alive? But
Clayface.
Clayface.
Well, it was, you know, it was a good psychological twist, because in the Death in the Family storyline, Batman is so, Bruce Wayne is so psychologically damaged from the death of Jason Todd that really using him as a reveal, even temporarily, as Hush, really fucks with him mentally. So it was pretty, it was still pretty cool to see. It was a great concept, and kudos to the writing staff. I believe it was Mr. Loeb for doing that. So
this looks like it's one of those stories that I'll have to pick up.
You should pick up
from my experience with geek stuff.
You should pick up both, actually. You should pick up Death in the Family, read it, and then you should pick up Hush, because both are really good Batman miniseries.
And then we can do a It's News to Me
we can.
Segment.
That's big Kev's gag on you. I don't do that stuff. I'm not as talented as him. All right.
Show me your talents.
I won't show you my talents, but I will reveal Spider-Man for you.
This was the recent one.
This was the recent one. Civil War issue number 2. Spider-Man, after 40 some odd years, I think, of being incognito in the Marvel Universe, reveals himself as Peter Parker.
And he's publicly unmasked at a podium, right?
He is. It's not like a press event or something like that. And, you know, it sends shockwaves through the Marvel Universe. Of course, this is all part of Mr. Tony Stark's Superhuman Registration Act, which is really at the center of the Civil War storyline. And it was pretty big. I don't know that I'd call it a cliffhanger. I mean, I guess because at the end of the issue, you're like, oh my God, he unmasked himself. But really, I don't know.
I think they're saying that because I think it was the last page in the issue.
In the issue, yeah. It was like the last panel or last two
panels.
You're
supposed to be thinking, you know, where will they go from here? How can they go backwards? You know, people know who Spider-Man is, but come on, it's comic books. You could do whatever you want.
Of course you could.
It could be like, you know, an alternate universe and some guy wakes up in a dream.
Could have been Clayface. DC exactly. Marvel crossover. Could have been
a crossover. Excellent. In fact, it may still end that way.
It might save the storyline. All right.
How about Who Shot Mr. Burns? Season 6, episode 25 of The Simpsons.
This was a huge event, I remember.
It built up over several episodes, I think. 2, maybe 3 episodes, something like that. And they show Mr. Burns get shot, and then they spend an episode or two kind of like going through every single...
All the suspects.
Suspect, who really, everybody in Springfield is a suspect. I mean, right. Everybody from like Apu to like comic book guy, they're all possible suspects.
They all have a motive.
They all do have a motive.
And most of them have the means. It is a cartoon.
But at the end of it all, when all is said and done, when the dust settles, if you will, it was baby Maggie.
Yeah.
Do you remember why? Why did she shoot him? It was something stupid, wasn't it?
I thought it was like an accident or something.
I don't even remember.
See, when I read this thing and I went through it, I was thinking to myself, man, I remember that being huge. I remember talking to people out in school and they're like, oh, I know for a fact it was Homer and it was Smithers, and there was all these conspiracy theories about it and stuff. And today, I don't even remember what happened other than the fact that it was a letdown and it was Maggie.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wanted it to be Maggie, although probably the most shocking character, probably the only character in Springfield that they didn't go through on the suspect list coming to Who Shot Mr. Burns.
Of course.
But I remember the motivation behind it ended up being obviously unmemorable.
Oh, no, it had something to do with Burns taking
like a lollipop
from the bottom of the seat. And I think it was an accident.
Yeah, it was. But I don't know. It was dumb.
I don't remember, and I'm not really ashamed of it.
I don't know. Again, it was pretty dumb. All right. Last one that we feel is appropriate to highlight. Again, if you want to get the entire list, you can go to wizarduniverse.com. You're looking for the article entitled Top 25 Cliffhangers of All Time. I believe is the name of the article.
Correct.
The last one we're going to talk about here is Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. And they have it titled as Han Solo on Ice.
I could see this being one of the bigger cliffhangers of all time in the last, 30 years? Now. It would be 20 years now, right? 30 years.
30 years. 30 years. Well, it's 30 years for New Hope this year.
Right, 77, so, 80, so 83.
So it's 28 years, 27 years, something like that for Empire Jedi, right? Okay, so I agree that the ending of the movie as a whole is definitely an awesome cliffhanger. I don't know if Han Solo on Ice, though, is the single most important part of that that's a cliffhanger. I don't know. I think the whole thing was that was a great ending to that movie. It was so depressing and so left you wanting more. And what is going to happen? What's going to happen to Luke? I mean, what's going to happen to Luke? What's going to happen to Han? Where did Chewie go? Leia? I mean, I think really overall the entire ending of the film is an awesome cliffhanger. Singling out Solo as the most important part, I guess you could make that argument. I don't know that I would agree with it, but you certainly could put up a pretty good fight for it.
Yeah, you know what it is? I think the other characters' storylines to some point were resolved. Luke got his hand cut off, but you see he gets his hand back.
Right.
He's told by Vader that Vader's his father.
Right.
You know, that could go either way. What else?
I think Leia is safely back on the ship.
Yeah, they're
She's
all the
no
ship.
Longer in Jabba's palace.
3PO is nice and shiny.
Yeah, 3PO is shiny.
They're in the medical
bay. The third or fourth coat that he's gotten at this point. So I guess, really the only character that's unresolved out of the good guys at this point is Han. So maybe that's why they pick it.
The end of that movie does have one of the more realistic, scary memories for me from all movies from my childhood is Luke hanging from those radials, those antennas from the bottom of Cloud City.
Yeah.
Not only was that something that I couldn't even comprehend what the hell was going on when he was going through these tubes, like what are these tubes? Are they exhaust? Is it garbage? What is it? And then he falls out and he just gets thrown into the abyss only to be caught at the last second by what amounts to wire.
Yeah.
You know, thick wire.
And only with one hand.
Exactly.
At this point.
And he kind of does like a leg scissor to hold on. Yeah. And I mean, when I was a kid, that was like, well, if I got caught in that position, I'm pretty sure I'm freaking dead.
I'm fucked. Okay. So Han Solo on Ice. Again, good point bringing up the fact that he's the only unresolved character. Probably definitely one of the best cliffhanger endings of a film of all time. I don't think anybody would argue with that and put it on their top 10. So good list. Good list overall. So that's it. If you want to check out the rest of the list, again, you can go to Wizard Universe. There'll be a link on it on our page. And, you know.
And you can click on the link on the podcast now.
And while you're clicking, we're going to take a break. Be right back.
Give me a sign. Hello out there. Everyone in Geekland. Yeah, that's you. I mean you. This is Daddy Fantastic. That's right. You know, Mr. Fantastic's father. I know you didn't think he had any relatives, but he does. I've been thinking the only way Mr. Fantastic is ever going to get out of that basement of mine is if this show really takes off. Yeah, he lives in the basement. We let him out to do the show, but I want him out of there permanently. So what's Mrs. Fantastic and I need you to do is visit the iTunes store and subscribe to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. That's Big Kev's Geek. Yeah, you know what I mean. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You do that by typing Geek Stuff. I know that's a little strange, but it's Geek Stuff into the search field. And then you hit some keys, and before you can say David Copperfield, you're there. It's unbelievable. It's just something really that's fantastic. Yeah, that's right. Daddy Fantastic. Also, don't forget to visit the website on the internets. The address is big. It's very big, this address. It's just so long to get it out. It's Big Kegs. What's the guy's name? Would you please tell me? What's his name? Big Kev. That's it. I knew it. BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can't miss it. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. It's not. One more thing, I messed up before. If you would like to hear more Big Kev's Geek Stuff, email eric.logan@xmradio.com. Don't forget.
Hey, boss. We're back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 69. Sexy.
All right.
Dude, let's wrap this up.
All right. Let's go through some of this stuff really, really, really quickly. George Miller directing JLA. Lexi Alexander, Punisher 2. Still think it's going to stink, though. We talked a little bit about some movies that may or may not come out. Shrek 4, who cares? World of Warcraft, the movie. Do we really need BlizzCon 2007 or 2000, whenever? I still don't think so. Will Wolfenstein make a good film or not? I don't know. You think yes? I think not so much.
I think B.J. Blazkowicz is all I can say.
Aw, on the tombstone. How sweet. We talked a little bit about Dean Cain making an appearance from Ripley's Believe It or Not into Smallville. That's right. I'm screwing over Lois and Clark. Who cares about it? What else did we talk about? We talked a little bit about these cliffhangers on wizarduniverse.com, right?
The top 25 cliffhangers of all time.
I think the list is worth checking out. I think maybe some of the things on the list, if you haven't seen, read, played before, there's something you wanna look into. Kind of use the list as a geek list that I haven't done or conquered before and see how many you can go through.
Yeah, as someone who's doing this show with you guys, but I'm still kind of on the fringes of the geek world, I use these kind of lists as jumping points into things that I, you know, should have read about years ago. I can kind of take care of that now.
Well, then what you need to take out of this,
yeah,
is you need to read Death in the Family and then Hush. That's what you should take away from this segment.
I will take you up on that challenge.
And just quickly, I didn't mention earlier in the show, but maybe a couple of DVDs you want to just check out this week real quick. Muppet Seasons 2 came out. Bubba Hotep Special Edition came out. Came in a shiny packaging with Elvis's jacket in it. Very nice. Mm-hmm. The Special Edition Flash Gordon, 2-disc set with Alex Ross painted cover. Also very shiny, very nice. And the CGI TMNT film
Oh, cool.
is also out on DVD this week. So
I got to get that.
I got to get that too.
Also, Flash Gordon, new show, August 10th.
Ooh, that's right. August 10th. So you should check that out as well. I believe that's going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel. So you can go to scifichannel.com, I think.
Correct,
sir. To get more information on that. And I think that's going to wrap this episode up. Remember, you can check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com or MySpace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff.
Or the iTunes Music Store by searching for Geek Stuff under Podcasts.
And again, I implore you, if you subscribe to us, leave us a review. If you don't subscribe to us, subscribe to us. And that's about it.
Do it.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Sharp day when the heat of a rolling wind can't be turned away. An enchanted moment, and it sees me through.